Again, the topic is simcha. That's the main issue that we're addressing. In this particular shir, we're going to be discussing a chapter on Likutei Moran that's broad, that covers a lot of different things. It's got one short paragraph in it on simcha. But the short paragraph says something very, 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 very special and important that relates to that whole chapter on Likutei Moran. So I'm going to be touching on eight different concepts or issues, and we're going to show how the concept of simcha addresses this whole universe that we're going to paint here, this picture we're going to paint. And this chapter on Likutei Moran is one of the, all of them are very, very special. In Likutei Halachos and Hilchos Chanukah, which is coming up not that far away, the first halacha in Hilchos Chanukah is based on this chapter on Likutei Moran. It's very special. It uses a little bit of deep terminology, but hopefully we're going to translate everything. If you pay attention, I think you won't have any problem following and understanding, and we'll get some very important advice. We're continuing the series of shiurim on the topic of simcha based on Rabbi Nachman's teachings. This shiur is going to be based on chapter 25 in Likutei Moran, in the first half of Likutei Moran, which deals with a term called Koyach HaMedame. That's a term that Rabbeinu Zal introduces in this chapter on Likutei Moran. The term Koyach HaMedame has several different translations in the English language, for example. Sometimes the term Koyach HaMedame is used as a nickname for the Yetzer Hara. It's another name for the evil inclination. It also means imagination. And in our discussion, we're going to cover certain other definitions and explanations of what this term Koyach HaMedame is. Before we go into the Likutei Moran, I'd like to read a few sentences from Yeshaya Hanavi, chapter 61, and one of the sentences is going to be one of the highlights of our discussion, but it's all tied in. I'm not going to translate every word literally. We'll translate what we need. This chapter begins, the Navi says, Ruach Hashem Elokim Olai, the Spirit of Hashem is upon me, Yan Moshach Hashem Oisi Levaser Anovim, because Hashem has anointed me and appointed me to give good news to those who are humble, Shelochani Lachvoish Lenishbarei Lev, Hashem has sent me to heal those with a broken heart, Likroi Leshvuyim Droer, to call out to those who are in captivity, to declare their freedom, Vela Asurim Pekach Koyach, and to those who are imprisoned, again, to release them from their imprisonment. Likroi Shnas Rotzain Lashem, to declare a year of appeasement for Hashem, a year of goodwill. Ve'yoyim nokom galakenu, and a day of revenge, when Hashem is going to take revenge from all the enemies of the Jewish people. Lenachim kol aveilim, and Hashem is going to console all the mourners. Losum la'avele tzion, loses lohem pe'er tachasefer. And the mourners of Zion, those who are mourning the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the suffering of the Jewish people, Hashem is going to replace their ashes with pe'er, with beauty. This is a very famous pasuk, replacing efer with pe'er, the same letters. Shemen sosoin tachas evel, oil of rejoicing, is going to replace again our mourning. Ma'ate tehila, garments of praise, tachas ruach kea, are going to replace a weak spirit. V'koiro lehem eilei tzedek, mata Hashem lehispoir. The pasuk is saying again that Hashem is going to lift up, elevate the fallen pride of the Jewish people. And uvanu chorvo yisoylam, shonam yisrishonim yikonemu, all the places that were destroyed, the Beis HaMikdash, the Jewish cities, all the things that were destroyed are going to be rebuilt. V'chitshu orei chorev shonam yisdor vador, v'omdu zorim v'ro'u tzaynchem, and strangers are going to get up and they're going to take care of your sheep. They're going to provide for you. And again, strangers, other nations are going to take care of your vineyards, all your physical needs. Va'atem koyhanei Hashem tikoreu. And you, the Jewish people, are going to be declared a nation of priests. Mishor se'elekenu, ye omer lochem, cheil goyim toichelu, uvichvoidom tisyamoru. The wealth of the nations you will eat. Because any wealth that's in their possessions is going to be transferred into the hands of the Jewish people. In the next pasuk, just quoting the last half of the pasuk, Simchas Olam Tihi Elohim. The joy of the world is going to be for the Jewish people. And then it goes on to say, V'noida Bagoyim Zarom, all the nations of the world are going to get to know recognize the children of the Jewish people. V'tze'etzo'eyem b'soicho amin, kol ro'eyem yakirum. All those who will look at the Jewish people will realize ki heim zera beira Hashem, that they are the blessed children of Hashem. And now we're coming to the pasuk that I was leading up to, sois osis b'Hashem. I will rejoice and be happy with Hashem. Togel nafshi b'leikai. My soul is thrilled with my Hashem. Ki hilbishani bigde yesha. Because Hashem has dressed me in garments of salvation. Mi'il tzedoko ye'otoni. A garment, a cloak of charity Hashem has wrapped me in. Kechoson yechahin pe'er. Like a groom, like a chosn, dressed in pride and glory in his wedding garments, v'chakalo ta'ade keleho, and like a bride, again, showing her beautiful clothing. The final pasuk, ki ko'oretz toitzi tzimcha, because as the earth will give forth its vegetation, v'chagano zeru'echo tatzmiach, and the gardens will produce their produce. Kein Hashem Elokim yatzmiach tzedoko usehilo neged kol hagoyim. So too Hashem will bring forth tzedoko, charity, usehilo, and pride neged kol hagoyim, before all the nations of the world. So this chapter is foretelling a time when things are going to be fabulous. The world is going to recognize the greatness of Klal Yisrael. All the destruction is going to be rebuilt and replaced. And there are two issues specifically mentioned here. The term tzedakah, charity, and simcha, sois osis, b'Hashem, rejoicing with Hashem. And these are two of the main highlights in this chapter on Likutei Moran that I want to address. We know that Rabbi Nachman tells us in several places, that the Jewish people, in terms of where we come from, where our neshama comes from, we are very far from sin. We have no shaychus at all to avera, to sins, because the Jewish soul comes from a very, very high, holy place. That being the case, how is it that there's free choice? Because Hashem put us into this world to be able to use this world as a springboard. Our souls started off in Gan Eden, in paradise. We were sent down to this world to get to a higher level and a better place than we originally started from, by going through the battle of Bechira, free choice, being presented with good and bad, and being presented with them both as viable, very viable choices. And if we succeed in making the right choice, then we're zeichet to get to a higher level, where the Gan Eden is something that we earned. It wasn't given to us as a freebie, and it has millions of times more value. It's much more special. The question is, if the Jewish soul comes from such a high place of holiness, how in the world can the Yetzer Hara market his wares, averis, sins, which are darkness, which are bad, evil, And evil, what shaychus does evil have with good? The Jewish people are called the pride of Hashem. Yisrael asher b'cho espoer. The Jewish nation in whom I take pride. And just like Hashem is toiv, we say in Ashrei, toiv Hashem lakoil, Hashem is toiv. The Tikkun Zohar tells us that Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, in Mispar Koton, where we drop the zeros, Yud, instead of being counted as 10, we count it as 1. Hey is 5, Vav is 6, Hey is 5. It equals 17, which is the word Toiv. That's the Sposik, Toiv Hashem Lakoil. Hashem is good. The Jewish people are good, because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Kutshebrichu v'Yisrael v'oraiso chatu. Hashem, the Jews, and the Torah are one. Hashem is Toiv. The Torah is Toiv, ki lekach Toiv nosati lochem, it says, Toirosi al tazivu. Hashem says, I've given you my good, my Torah, and the Jewish people are Toiv. How in the world does the Yetzirah market ra, evil, bad, to a nation of Toiv, or to an individual who is Toiv? And Rabbeinu Zal explains here, as he does in several places, in the opening chapter in Likutei Moran, he enlightens us and he tells us that to a Jew who wants to be religious, to a Jew who wants to be good, the Satan knows he can't offer him something that says bad on the front cover. He ain't going to take it. So the Yetzirah has to take his wares, his ra, and dress it up as toif. He has to make it look good. And if it looks good, then there are some people who don't have they don't realize, they forget that we are in an olam hasheker. We're in a world of falseness. We're not the olam haba, the world to come, is called olam hayom, it's the world of truth. We're in a place called olam hasheker. Just because something looks good, that doesn't prove that it's good yet. Look at it again. Take a second look, take a third look, and sometimes peel off the cover. Take off the cover and look inside to see is it what it appears to be on the outside. We know, for example, medicine. All the Sfarim refer to medicines as bitter pills. Bitter, mar. And yet you speak to 99 out of 100 people today, they'll tell you that they never in their life came across a bitter medicine. No such thing. There's cherry flavor, strawberry, vanilla, there's the chewable. And the answer is that in the world we exist in, there is this ability to dress up, to take something bitter and make it appear sweet. And if a person doesn't know better, if they haven't studied, they could think that this is matok. Somebody who studies, they know the ingredients, they go into, they know, ha ha ha. We know that's just for kids. For kids who can't take the medicine as is, we have to add some ingredients to it, which are unnecessary and could even be harmful to a degree. But the fact that this kid won't take the medicine unless they can get it down, unless we put in the cherry flavor, vanilla flavor, so we have to do it. We know that's how we navigate in this world. So too the Yetzirah, the evil inclination, in order to market his wares, he has to make them appear to be good. And this is where we get this title, this name, Koyach HaMedameh, which Rabbeinu Zal says that this is one of the names of the Yetzirah, the evil inclination. Medameh means to make something similar, comparable. The Yetzirah is comparable to that which is good. And in fact, when the Torah describes what he does, the pasuk says, "Somim or lachoshech v'choshech l'or." He makes darkness appear to be light, and light darkness. Mar lemosoik, he tries to make that which is really bitter appear to be sweet. Umosoik lemar. That's what he's all about. And then, if it's something sweet, if it's something good, that's what a Jew is looking for. All of us are in the market, we're shopping, we're always looking for good things. So if the Yetzirah can take what he's offering and make it appear to be good, that's how he can catch fish. That's how he can trap us into accepting what he's offering and falling into it, not knowing that it's bitter, some people are fortunate enough somewhere along the way to realize, oh, this isn't what I thought it was. Wow, I can't believe I was taken. I thought this was sweet. I thought gambling was fun. I thought it was an opportunity to make money. Wow, I had no idea that I was going to empty out my wallet and borrow some money. I came here thinking I was going to come home and be able to buy my wife a new dress or upgrade a car, and instead, wow, I have to go look for a second job because I made the mistake. I got sucked into this thing that looked so exciting and so easy and fun and great and such an opportunity for quick money, etc. That's one example. The Torah tells us that on the other hand, a tzaddik, a truly righteous person, what does he do? Who is he looking to emulate? Who is he looking to compare himself to? Tzadikim mizdamnen liyotzrum. Tzadikim, by the tzaddik, there is also medame. He's also trying to compare himself to something else. He's trying to emulate Hashem. A tzaddik who studies Torah properly, or a righteous Jew, he learns about Hashem, what Hashem is all about. In last week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, begins with Avram Avinu, who had a bris mila, and on the third day after the bris mila, he was ill. What did Hashem do? Hashem, who is toiv, Hashem, who is good, what did Hashem do? Hashem went to be mevaker choyla, to visit a person who was sick. And Hashem changed the world around, made the sun extra hot, to make it that it was uncomfortable for people to be walking the streets, so that Avram Avinu shouldn't be bothered with guests. Avram Avinu, when a guest would come, he put himself into it totally. And Hashem, knowing the difficulty that Avram Avinu had at the time, didn't want him to have to go through that difficulty in such a condition of ill health. So Hashem turned the world over to help Avram Avinu. Then when Hashem saw how troubled Avram Avinu was in the fact that he didn't have guests, Hashem sent him guests. So a tzaddik, a religious Jew, reads this and says, wow, I want to be like that. That's what I'm supposed to try to copy, to emulate, to be medame myself, to compare myself to Hashem on my level. That if I see somebody who's sick, somebody who has any kind of problem, to think of what I can do to help. And sometimes, even if I try something that I thought was good for the person, and I see that's not really what they want, not the end of the world, no problem. Figure out what is good and correct it and do it. This is our Torah, this is our Shulchan Aruch, etc. We're trying to emulate, we're trying to be medame ourselves to Hashem, or to tzaddikim, to righteous people. A Jew watches the behavior. We know the Torah speaks about two levels of learning. There's book learning, there's limud haTorah, and there's shimush chachamim. Shimush chachamim means staying in close proximity with truly religious people and watching how they act, watching how they conduct themselves, and trying to emulate them, trying to be medame myself to them. This is how we do battle against the Yetzer Hara, who is called Koyach HaMedame. He's the one who tries to make bad look good. I'm aware of that. The Torah has trained me to look out for that. And I look carefully. I don't want to see something that looks good on the outside. I search for what's really good. Hashem is really good. The Tzaddik is really good. Imru Tzaddik Ki Toiv, the Pasuk says. And I look at that. And once I find what I really believe is good, then I'm trying to get as much of that as I can, and I'm trying to emulate that. When we talk about intelligence, when we talk about intellect, there's what's called Sechel Dikdusha, holy Sechel, holy intelligence. And again, there's what's called Koyach HaMedame. Koyach HaMedame, in this sense, takes on an interpretation of, it could be imagination, fantasy, or, at best, the Koyach HaMedame is how a person sees something on a physical level. I'm in a room, I see benches and tables. The first thought that comes to my mind is carpenter. There's a person who studied carpentry, who knows different types of wood. He went to school for it. He learned exactly which kinds of wood are good for what purposes, etc. And this person worked X number of days or years to build the tables and chairs and benches that I'm looking at. And I see the smoothness of the wood. I know it wasn't created this way. The wood comes in a certain raw form, and it had to be processed. It had to go through all kinds of different processes to smooth it, to take off the bark, to smooth it, to sandpaper it, until it's this table that I'm looking at. That's the koyach hamedame portion of our seichel, interprets it that way. When I see a table, a chair, or I see anything, I see the physical world, I interpret it in physical terms. Seichel digdusha goes past that. Seichel digdusha knows carpenter. Who made the carpenter made the table. Who made the carpenter? The carpenter took wood and used the wood to make the table. Seichel digdusha says, where did the wood come from? How did the wood come into being? Who created the carpenter? Who gave him the knowledge and wisdom? Who put the thought into his mind to make these tables for a shul instead of for some other purpose? That's taking the physical world and taking it up to a different level completely, connecting everything to its source, to Hashem. That's Seichel digdusha. And when a person does that, they're getting to the root of everything. They're getting to the source of everything. And by doing that, we have the ability to attach everything to Hashem and to bring ourselves closer to Hashem through every single thing. The person without religion, who we said looks at the table and knows table equals carpenter plus wood, stops there. A religious Jew who sees the table and knows carpenter plus wood plus Hashem suddenly says, realizes that there's not just a gratitude saying thank you to the carpenter, there's that everything in this world helps me realize and have recognition of Hashem's greatness. Morabu Masecho Hashem. This is another thing that Hashem has given us. Infinite, just about infinite numbers of materials, gold, silver, wood, copper, water, liquid, solids, all kinds of things. And Hashem has given man, Hashem has given a fraction, a droplet of his seichel, of the seichel of Hashem into man, and look what man can do with a drop of Hashem, a tiny drop of Hashem injected into a human being, the neshama, the soul, the mind, the heart. Look what a person can do with it. A person can make tape, a person can build houses, computers, all kinds of incredible things. And every single thing around the person is another wire attaching them to Hashem, bringing them close to Hashem. And in fact, this is when we talk about Bechira, when we talk about a Jew's mission in this world, the Yetzirah tries to use the physical world as a distraction from Hashem. For a person to block a person's vision from looking at the source. We see all kinds of things around us. We interpret it on a physical level and it stops there. And a person living that way, life is usually not that great. Because in the physical world, a person has difficulties, a person has struggles. And if they're limited to just looking at it from a standpoint of a physical world, in many cases there isn't that much they can do about it. And even if they try to improve their situation, to help their situation, very difficult. When a Jew looks past that, a Jew who believes in Hashem, and a Jew who's aware of Hashem and recognizes that everything in the physical world is a mask. This is a mask, it's a cover for what's underneath, for the Hashem. Just like in an apple, you take an apple for example, a red delicious apple. Person looks at it that has never seen this before and says, wow, I never saw a fruit like this, or a red fruit. Another guy tells him, You don't realize the apple's not red, the apple's white. It's got a thin, thin layer of red on the outside, the peel. Let me show you. Takes a knife and peels the skin of the apple, which is a millimeter thin, and shows him that 99.9% of the apple is all white. So too, this physical world that we are functioning in, that we're moving around in, is like the apple. Everything we see around us on a physical level, koyach hamedame. It's that physicality, it's that thin layer, that peel of the apple, that klipa, in a sense. If a person gets past that, if a person peels the apple and looks underneath at Hashem, Hashem is huge. Hashem is vast. Hashem is toiv. Hashem is all good. The peel of the apple has good and bad in it. All of us know that after you peel an apple, you leave the apple in an unpeeled state. Very short, it turns brown and it spoils. So the peel, in a sense, is a protection. It's a protection for the apple to keep it from spoiling and rotting. And there are other benefits involved in this peel. But the main thing, the main benefit of it clearly is the fruit itself. Here also, the physical world that we're in is like this klipa. It's Eitz Hadas Toivora. It's good and bad. It's a klipas noiga that has both good and bad in it. And our mission in life is to peel the apple, to remove the peel, to remove the klipa, and to be able to strengthen the Seichel Ikdusha over the Medame. Not to be taken in by the exterior, by the window dressing, by what we see, but to realize that it's only that, and to look past it, to look at the Seichel Ikdusha, to recognize the Hashem in everything, and to plug into that, to do the best we can to connect and get close to Hashem. Rabbi Nezal tells us, Rabbi Nachman tells us, that this mission that a person has to try to see past this Koyach HaMedame and be able to get to the Seichel Ikdusha, to see the Hashem behind everything, this is a process whereby a person, it's not a one-shot deal. This happens on levels. A person going through life, a child, can understand this on a certain level, and each and every time a person advances, grows, they can understand this on higher and higher levels. And this is actually our mission in life, for a person to be trying to go from level to level, growing and advancing in Seichel Ikdusha. In this realization, in studying more and more, studying number one, more Torah, which is Seichel Ikdusha, and the Torah makes us more and more aware of Hashem. But even as we're functioning in the physical world and learning more about that and seeing the physical world more and more, to be advancing to higher and higher levels of being able to connect everything back to Hashem and to use everything in the physical world as a means of coming closer to Hashem. A person trying to do this, however, encounters opposition every step of the way. Rabbi Nezal says, every time you try to get on a new level, just like when Hashem created the world, Vayhi erev, vayhi voker, yom echod. First there was darkness, then there was light. That's day one. Day two, again, first darkness, then light, day two. Every step of the way, every day, had its darkness before its light. So too, every day in a Jew's life, every time a person is trying to get to a new level, there's the Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker. There's the Koyach HaMedame that comes out to greet the person, and that comes out to say, oh, you're trying to get to a higher level of realization of Hashem? We're going to put more of a blockage. We're going to try to put more distractions in front of you. We're going to try to cover up Hashem more, to make it more difficult for you to see Hashem, to see through the covering, the mask, the blockage, and remember Hashem. We're going to try to do everything we can to get you to forget about Hashem, to be distracted by every single version possible of physicality. whether it's taivos, whether it's physical desires that are going to occupy your mind and your essence and your pursuit, whether it's the struggles that a person has in life, parnasa, supporting a family, all kinds of different distractions to get you to forget the focus, to get you to forget what's behind everything, that white portion of the apple, which is the essence of Hashem. How does a person combat this? Rabbi Nazal in this chapter mentions two things. He says basically there's one way. Anything that a person can do to reveal the greatness of Hashem, Gedulas HaBorei, as soon as you do that, you're turning on a very bright light, and that dispels the darkness. That causes the forces of darkness to move away. A perfect example of this is if a person, lo aleinu, has a problem in their house or in their shed, wherever it is, a person has a problem with bugs, rodents that come out, that are crawling around. We know that sometimes a person has this. A person is staying in a bungalow in the summer. It's not as clean as their regular house, let's say, for whatever reasons. And at night they go to sleep. The house is dark. It's quiet. A person gets up in the middle of the night. They have to use the facility. They go into the facility. They turn on the light and they look at the floor. And suddenly they see everyone running for the hills. They see the bugs and things scattering, running for hiding, running to the, back into their holes, that kind of thing. Lahavdil, in Kedusha, same thing. With his darkness, where Hashem's presence is not being felt, where people aren't aware of the presence of Hashem, those bugs and vermin and rodents come out and they operate freely. They're not afraid. They can do their thing. If you can turn on a bright light, that sends them running for cover. That's called Gedulas HaBorei, the greatness of Hashem. That's this bright light. In this chapter on the Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nachman gives us two examples of that. One example is tzedakah, charity. Because of the fact that in this physical world, probably the greatest distraction of all that distracts people from Hashem is money. The Torah refers to it as Elokei Chesef, Elokei Zov, idols of gold and silver. The pursuit of money is the greatest distraction that all the other nations have, that distracts them from Hashem Echad, from the realization and the recognition of the one Hashem. And Lahavdil, even among the Jewish people, what the Yetzirah uses, what the evil inclination uses to distract us from Hashem, from Torah, from happiness, is this issue of money. Therefore, when a Jew takes money, which is the thing that the Yetzirah uses, money is power, money is malchus, kingdom. We have a pasuk, v'ho'osher v'ha'kovoid milfonecha, that osher, wealth, is synonymous with kovoid, and kovoid is malchus, melech ha'kovoid. We know that, again, in the physical world, respect, respectability, and honor and leadership, in many cases, is associated with money. Today, we're in the year Tufshin Ayin, the year 2009, just as an example. The mayor of the city of New York just happens to be a billionaire, just happens to be a person who can spend $150 million on his campaign to advertise the fact that he wants to be mayor for the third time or for the sixth time, whatever it is. And again, we know that majority of people in power all over the world, in the physical world, usually money plays a very important role in their power, their personal power, and Hashem playing less of a role in their lives. I have money, I don't need Hashem. If Hashem stays out of my way, out of my face, out of my life, things will be just great. Chas v'shalom, rachmon al-Islam. So it, when a Jew takes money, which is one of the tools that the Yetzirah uses most to block Hashem, And a person takes this money, this hard-earned money, this my money, this my power, this that's part of me. We say in the Kriya Shema, V'yohavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol moedecha. When Hashem speaks about a Jew attaining love for Hashem, Hashem says, I want you to love me with your entire heart. The heart represents the body, the whole physical body, because the heart in many respects is the most important part of the body. The heart stops beating, you're dead. Everybody knows cardiac arrest. The heart defines the person as being alive or dead. Hashem says, I want you to serve me with your entire body, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, and with your soul, with the spiritual portion of you, u'v'chol mo'edecha, and with all of your possessions, everything you have, all of your money. A person would say, that's a strange trio. Body, soul, money? Is that how big money really is? That money is so big that it's put on the same level, we put it together with body, soul, and money? And the answer is yes, most definitely. Because these possessions, all of a person's possessions, this is the malchus of the person. We say a person's home is his palace. That's his kingdom. That's his malchus. This money, and this is the thing that the Yetzirah uses. When people have this, it's a replacement for Hashem. I don't need Hashem in my chas v'shalom. A person doesn't need religion. There are people who say religion is for poor people. They don't have money, so they don't have money to stand them up. In fact, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the pasuk many times. Ves kol hayikum asher baraglecha, that which stands you up on your feet. And the Gemara says, Zum memoinoi shelodam, that's a person's money that gives them their upstandingness in physical society, in the physical world. Respectability is the person has a house, the person has this, the physical possessions, that money. When a Jew goes ahead and takes this money and gives it away, gives it to somebody else, not because they owe them, but out of kindness, an act of kindness, because Hashem said so. Because Hashem said, it's not your money, it's my money. There's a partnership, there's an invisible partner in every single thing that you own. And this partner really owns 99.999% of everything you have, because everything you have comes from him. But this partner in the physical world has decided to operate in such a form that even though you're zero or you're next to zero, and all the efforts you put into acquiring this wealth and money is close to zero, still Hashem says, I'm willing to share, I'm willing to make the partnership 90 to 10. You keep 90%, I get 10%. Even though everything you have, the fact that you're breathing, who gave you the breath of life? Who's keeping you alive? Who gave you your business? Who gave you your wife and who gave you everything? Everything came from Hashem. Hashem says, in the physical world, we'll operate on a 90-10 relationship. You keep 90% as long as you give me 10. This is the concept of Meiser Tzedakah. And a Jew who fulfills this mitzvah of giving tzedakah, a person who takes this money, this idol, this kavod, this malchus, this kingdom, and gives it away to somebody else, this is one of the greatest displays of gedulas haboirei, of recognition of Hashem. When a person does that, they show that I'm aware that this money, this kavod, this power is not mine. It's really all Hashem's. And the fact that I'm majority partner is only because Hashem insists, he wants it to be that way. But the fact that I'm giving away this portion to the poor people, to an oni hogun, I'm showing to what degree I'm aware I'm not fooled. Just because the check has my name on it, the boss, my company wrote a check and it has my name on it, I know it's not mine. It's Hashem's. This is all Lashem ha'oretz u'malayo. Everything in this world belongs to Hashem. Li hakesev li azov num Hashem, the Torah says. All money is mine, Hashem says. Hashem, in his infinite kindness, is willing to allow me to keep 90, and to as long as I give him his 10. So tzedakah is a display of gedula sabayre, and Rabbi Nizal writes, when a Jew gives tzedakah, that's turning on this bright light that causes the bugs and everything to run for cover, that causes these forces of koyach hamedame, this yetzara, this sitrachra, to run away, and to allow the person to get to that new level of recognition of Hashem. The second item that he discusses in this chapter is simcha, joy, happiness. That when a Jew is happy, we'll come to what to be happy about in a moment. When a person is happy, they're turning on this bright light, this billion watt bulb, that also causes all of these forces of tumah to scatter, to run away, to disperse. We know that the Mishnah says, mar ben chosin, mar ben daiga, that in this physical world, in this physical world, the more money a person has, the more possessions a person has, the more worries they have, the more sadness and depression. Even though it would seem to you otherwise, most people are under the mistaken impression that if I get a car, if I get a bigger house, if I get a raise in salary, I'll be happier. If a person lives in this world and they study the people around them, they see that that's not true, that the words of the Torah are 100% true, that the more a person has, yesh lo mona roitzem osayim, the Torah says. A person has $100, they're missing 200 to make them happy. A person has $100 million, they're in a bigger hole. They need 200 million more to make them happy. The more a person has, the more it's like drinking salt water. Person drinks it, it's wet, it looks like water, it looks like something that's going to satisfy your thirst, but the Torah tells us it doesn't work that way. The more you have, the more you need, the more you want, and we see that that's the way the world operates. A person gets a raise in salary, is he saving more money? In most cases, not the case. Because again, now I'm earning so much, I owe it to myself to have a bigger house, better car, and again, the person is earning $100,000, they're spending $200,000. Person's earning $1 million, they're spending, the bank is willing to lend them. He gets letters from the bank, they're sending him gifts, credit cards. You have more borrowing power now. Now we're going to let you borrow more, get yourself more in the hole, in a deeper hole. And Rachmona Litzlon, and the Torah testifies to this mar ben achosin, mar bedaiga. So that this item of depression, worry, sadness goes together with this koyach hamedame, with the forces, the yetzahara, the sitra achra. When a Jew expresses their faith in Hashem, their recognition of Hashem, by being happy. Happy about what? Happy shelo yasani goy. I'm happy that I'm a Jew, number one. And the Torah says that in being a Jew and not being a member of the other nations, that alone is an incredible, incredible gift. That's an incredible, it's putting me in a fabulous place. Asher bochar bonu mikol ho'amin. Number one. Number two, besides being a Jew, Hashem has given us his choicest treasure. Hashem gave me the Torah. The Meforshim point out that when a person creates something, let's say a person plants a tree, it makes perfect sense for the person to water the tree. If you planted the tree, it means you wanted to have it. In order for this tree to exist, you have to water it. Lahavdil, people know. A person owns a dog. A person owns an animal or something like that. They know that part of the responsibility, let's talk about fish. I don't have to use an example of a dog, a tummy animal. People have fish tanks. They buy fish. They know that children love the fish. They like, look, but this goes with the responsibility. You have fish, you have to feed them every day. If you forget to feed them, they're going to die, period. Lahavdil, Hashem created man, that Hashem provides us with physical living. The Torah says that that's even from the Midas HaMishpot of Hashem. That's part of the justice and fairness of Hashem. But the fact that Hashem gave us a Torah, The fact that he gave us his greatest treasure, the Torah, that's an act of chesed. When we say the Torah is compared to milk, dvash v'cholov tachas l'shoinech, it's called. And the pasuk says lahagid baboker chazdecho, that we speak, we declare Hashem's kindness in the morning. It's brought at the first letters of lahagid baboker chazdecho, spell the word cholov, milk, which is synonymous with Torah. The fact that Hashem gave us His Torah, that's not something that He had to give us in any way. That's a tremendous act of kindness that Hashem shared His wisdom, His seichel, what He calls His treasure, His greatest treasure. Hashem has decided to share that with us. If a Jew is able to think about how lucky I am, Shevo Yassani Goy, that I was given the Torah, that I'm aware of tzaddikim, that I'm aware of the mitzvahs, and the person is able to use that to bring themselves into a state of happiness, looking at anything good in their life, being able to identify, I'm alive, I have a wife, I have kids, I have a house, I have my health. Each person can find different things that they have, that they, if they focus on, that's the toiv, and that can bring them into a state of simcha. That again is an example of this, a revelation of gedulas haboire. It's a revelation of the greatness of Hashem, how great Hashem is, because gedula is synonymous with chesed. We say lecho Hashem hagedula v'hagivura v'atiferes v'neitzach v'hoid. In the Hebrew language, in Lashon Kodesh, gedula is a substitute, a synonym for chesed. When a Jew is able to focus on Hashem's kindness to me, when I'm able to identify different ways that Hashem is being kind to me and good to me, that's also a display of this gedulas Hashem, this greatness of Hashem, which chases away all forces of darkness and evil. It removes that koyach hamedame. It peels, removes that peel, that covering from the apple, and allows the person to connect with Hashem, who is the essence of goodness, who is the essence of joy. This is why we find the Torah, when it speaks about the idols of the worship of money in a wrong type of way, it uses the term atzabehem kesev ezohov. Their idols are referred to as atzabehem, miloshen atzvus, depression, sadness. Whereas simcha digdusha, when a person is able to identify a couple of things in their life, in their day, in their person, that they can be happy about, this is what removes this covering, this medame, these demyonis. We said every single time a person tries to get to a new level, there's that darkness, that vayere vayvoiker. If a person, through the act of giving tzedakah and through simcha, by turning on that simcha, that onoichi esmach b'Hashem, that removes the darkness and leads the person into the light. Hashem should help. The pasuk we mentioned before that associates these two, sois osis b'Hashem, I rejoice, I'm happy with Hashem, togel nashi belokai, ki hilbishani bigde yesha, because Hashem has dressed me in garments of salvation, Me'il tzedoko ya'atoni. Hashem dressed me in a garment of tzedoko. This pasuk gives us the connection between the simcha, the sois osis, and the tzedoko. These two things that are both a revelation of gedula saboire, where a person is showing that the most important things in life, money, which some people consider to be the most important thing in life, I connect it to Hashem. Simcha, happiness, my joy, what's going to make me happy is not more money. What's going to make me happy is my recognition of Hashem. To the degree that a person is zoiche to see Hashem in their life, to identify certain droplets of chesed that Hashem is showing them and focus on that, to that degree, we're able to succeed in overcoming the koyach hamedame, in defeating our yetzer hara, and being zoiche to live a good life. Should be zoche in the zchus of fulfilling this advice. of finding the things to be happy about and focusing on that, and taking the most important things in our life, all of our possessions, and plugging it into Hashem, koshering it. A person buys a refrigerator, buys a home, they use their money for certain things. A person wants to put up those physical possessions can be things that block you from seeing Hashem, or they can be things that help you see Hashem. When a person sees to it that every penny they earn, they miser, they give Hashem his portion, they give the tzedakah, then the 90% that remains with them has a holiness to it, it has Hashem in it, and then all of the person's possessions, instead of being mar ben echos and mar bedaiga, we said the Mishnah says, the more you have, the more worries you have. There's another side to that coin. There's a pasuk that says, birchas Hashem hi tashir, the blessing of Hashem is wealth, v'lo yosev otsev ima, and it has no depression, no sadness that goes with it. When a person's possessions have this birkas Hashem on it, this blessing of Hashem on it, then there's no depression, there's no sadness with it. On the contrary, a person's able to enjoy every single thing they have. They're able, and all of their physical possessions are able to bring them closer to Hashem. Should be zeichet to fulfill everything we learned here.